This is Stephen Strang. It seems like everyone is talking about Kanye West. Of course, he's a huge celebrity. He's been very controversial over the years. And now he's accepted Christ. He's come out with a new album called Jesus is King. He's in all the shows. And he's doing something called Sunday Service. And last week, he took his Sunday service to Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And today on the Stranger Report, we're going to talk to the pastor, Jonathan Stockstill, about what happened. You want to stay tuned.
Welcome to the Stranger Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I'm aware of Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, which I knew for many years as Bethany World Outreach Church. It is pastored by Jonathan Stockstill, and before him, his father, Larry Stockstill, and before him, his grandfather, who actually founded the church in the early 1960s. It's a very well-respected church. It's a large church. We've written about it in Charisma. We even had the three generations, the father, son, and Jonathan on the cover of Ministry Today magazine a number of years ago. And I have been interested in just watching the evolution of this church, and especially Jonathan as he has assumed the role of pastor and is doing a great job. So when I heard that the Sunday service was held at his church, it was on a Friday night of all places, but they call it Sunday service, I wanted to invite him to be on my podcast to tell me what happened. You know, there's been a lot in the media, but not very much about how all this happened. I think that you'll be surprised by what he has to say. And so here is my interview. Well, Jonathan Stockstill, I appreciate you being on the podcast. And I want to talk to you about Kanye West. It seems like everybody is talking about him. And he was at your church just a few days before we recorded this podcast. So tell me, how did your church get Kanye West to bring his choir and to have his Sunday service there?
Well, first of all, Steve, hey, it's good to talk to you. And I can tell you, you're probably one of 40 or 50 Christian leaders that have asked me, how did you book Kanye? And the answer is we didn't book him at all. It was just something that happened. One of his promoters that he does business with was driving past our property. And we have three really large crosses on our property. And he took a snapshot of it and sent it to Kanye. And Kanye said, I want to do a service there. So this was on Tuesday of the week that it happened. Sorry, Monday of the week that it happened. And so we took 48 hours and considered it. They worked out logistics if we were to say yes. And after 48 hours, I gave the green light. And this was Wednesday. And Friday night, the concert happened. So it was a pretty fast deal. And it was really them approaching us and us just letting them use our property. And of course, we hosted them and I opened up the meeting and everything, but it was really their thing.
Well, he started these Sunday services last January, and there's been a lot online about it. I was looking at it online, and it said that you had 6,000 people there, and there was a pastor named Kirvine Brewington at Crossroads Church in Lafayette, said, tonight, worship was lifted, the name of Christ was exalted, the word of God was preached, a multitude prayed together, the gospel was clearly proclaimed, and an opportunity to respond was given. In a crowd of 6,000 people from all walks of life, all ages, and all races, I witnessed over 1,000 people respond to the gospel. And then he said more. This was on Instagram, and apparently was shared far and wide. So, you know, good things happened. So as the pastor of the church, of course, you had to anticipate the good things that would happen or you wouldn't have opened up your church. But I'm just interested in your perspective. Maybe you could describe to us what happened in that Sunday service that was actually on a Friday evening.
Yeah. You know, the police estimates are 10,000. They gave away 7,000 free tickets, sold close to 2,000 VIP and brunch tickets, and then opened it up for free access afterwards. So a lot of the police estimates are around 10,000 that were here. And honestly, it was an ocean of hands. I know Curbine. It was a minimum of 1,000 people, but I would say a few thousand people lifted their hands to respond to salvation. And Steve, you know, you and I have been in the Christian world a long time. This was one of the most exciting, electric experiences I've had. I mean, it wasn't in a building, so it was open air. It was very simple. There was no light show, fog machines. There was no stage, really. It was just flat on the ground with 10,000 people. And there was some hills, and so people were kind of standing on the hills and around these big crosses. It was just an amazing atmosphere. And it's hard to describe what it felt like that night. But it was very genuine, very energetic, very worshipful, very Jesus-centered. And people who are fans of Kanye from his previous records came. And so there were so many people there that I could tell weren't believers. And just his testimony and what he believes in Christ just impacted so many people. So, yeah, I had watched all of the interviews that he had made on different talk shows and talking to different people who know him personally, and really came to the conclusion that salvation was very genuine, and what's been going on in his life is very genuine. And you know, I was reminded of the scripture in the Bible when Jesus liberated the man with a legion in him, and afterwards Jesus said, "Go back to the Decapolis and tell everybody what's happened." And it was almost an instant releasing to give a testimony, and that's how I viewed it. Is I'm allowing this man who's been transformed by Christ to give his testimony. And it was awesome.
You know, it is an amazing testimony. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul, who that conversion just dumbfounded everyone and was a marked turning point in the development of Christianity. You know, Paul, yeah, probably more than anybody other than Christ himself was responsible for the advance of Christianity. And when I heard that Kanye West, who, you know, in my opinion at least, and I'm not really a follower of rap, but, you know, every time he was in public, he was saying foul things. And remember the time he jumped up on the stage with a bottle of some kind of whiskey and said that Beyonce should have won. I mean, you know, just this crazy behavior and lots of other things. And then to find out that he's so changed, I mean, it was just almost impossible to believe. But you say that you believe it's genuine.
You nailed it when you said Saul to Paul, because Paul was a passionate person, a person who imprisoned Christians and murdered Christians, and that's who Jesus targeted to use as his person. And one thing for sure about Kanye, whatever he believes, he's not ashamed of it, whether that's what he did on the microphone at that award show, or if it's wearing a Make America Great hat again, or if it's Jesus, whatever Kanye's in, he's all in. So I think, man, he really has had a conversion, and he is 100% in. So I just pray for his solidity in the faith, and that God really surrounds him with great men, and he grows in his understanding of the word, and he really becomes a voice to Christianity for an extended period of time, and that we don't, you know, I know right now his biggest struggle is he's getting it on both fronts. He's getting it from the world because he's leaving it, and he's getting it from the Christians because they don't know what to do with him. So, you know, I pray that he makes it through that transitional season.
And then he's come out with this new album called Jesus is King. Did he perform any of that music, or what was the music
night? Exclusively that. You know, that was that record. He did every song on the record, and then some additional numbers that were choir songs that are just traditional choir songs.
Well, I saw the Airpool karaoke, in which they did a lot of those songs. I thought it was fantastic. That was such a great choir. And I don't know if you saw that video, but I think it had like 2 million views or something. And So those are the songs that they did, and that choir. Where in the world did he assemble that choir? I'm interested to find out.
Well, the gentleman that oversees his music over the choir arrangements is from West Angeles Church of God in Los Angeles. And he and the executive producer both are attenders of that church, and they were called by Kanye to put together a choir on a 2-day notice. And so in 2 days, they found all of the people that were singers, and these singers didn't know who they were going to come be a part of. They just knew he was an A-lister. So they all showed up, and it was Kanye. And this is back when he was just starting to do his church service. And so the gentleman who's put together his choir is a phenomenal, phenomenal guy, good, solid Christian. He led most of the night in worship and singing. And he's just super solid guy.
And then with all the people that raised their hand to accept Christ, what kind of follow-up is there? Is it your church going to follow that up or what?
No, there was no follow-up on it. It was just, you know, I don't think they've had any really, that was their first time to do what they did out of a really planned, I mean, after they released Jesus as King, they had been doing those services in California, and I think they did one in Michigan, but after the release of the album, that was really the first one that they had done in the public. And that type of response, there was no card to fill out, there was no nothing, but I mean, it was so pure, so genuine. I think most of the people that made decisions that night, he did encourage them to come to church. That weekend we did see quite a few new faces, a lot of them that had attended the Kanye concert. Some of them that had made decisions for Christ, and they did the decision again on the weekend here at the church. And so some of those people we saw at our church, and I'm sure other churches did too, but it wasn't a real organized effort to consolidate those people.
But it seems like you used the word genuine and pure and simple. I mean, there's something wonderful about that. You know, everything is just so organized these days. And in the wider culture, it seems like it's so much harder to spread the gospel. And even when it is spread, people make fun of it. So online, people were making funny of they called it Brunchella. Apparently,
right.
Something went wrong with the brunch or something.
And
you know, they were making a big deal about it instead of focusing on all the you know, the beauty of the worship and all the decisions for Christ.
No, I think if you were to interviewed 20 people that night, 20 would have said it was amazing. And to see the news afterwards and how negative it got, it just shows you how our world loves to eat up negative news. But it was a spectacular night. So I was very proud to have hosted it. I thought it was one of the best Christian experiences of my adult Christian life. I mean, it was, I would put it on the top 10 for sure. And
wow.
Just to see the authenticity of somebody who was going all in for Jesus in a very innocent and childlike way. It broke all the normal rules and barriers that we're used to. And one thing I can say is I felt like Kanye was there to worship as much as he was to do anything else and to be ministered to. He probably only performed 15% to 20% of the whole night. The rest of it, he was sitting on the side with his kids, just dancing and lifting his hands and worshiping. It was so refreshing to see.
Well, you know, as you were making those comments, you know, such superlatives, I was thinking, you know, someone who is new to all this would be overwhelmed like that. But I mean, you've been around this all your life, and not only that, but your father was the pastor before you, and his father was the pastor before him. I mean, you've grown up in this, and you've got a great church there in Louisiana that has an impact all over the world. And so for you to say it was one of your greatest experiences, that's really saying a lot.
You know why I say it? It was so unconventional. It was so, you know, I'm some of the top Christian artists now that are winning awards for their top records and everything, they don't say the name Jesus once on their records, you know, which I'm not faulting them for. But what you get the sense of is that it's a bunch of people who are professional Christians that are trying to make the message of Jesus as relevant and watered down as possible so the masses will like it, versus a man who has been in the underbelly of the world in the darkest place, and now he's screaming Jesus so loud, and it's just a different angle. You're so used to hearing this attempt at relevance, and he's like, he's been the most relevant person, and he's screaming Jesus. He says Jesus more times in his record than I think I've heard on an album in years. And so that childlike, bold, passionate testimony is just, it was so unconventional, so pure, that I just loved it. So,
and the album's called Jesus is King. I mean,
correct. Yeah.
You know, And he's out promoting it everywhere. You know, I was, I've done a lot of these interviews, of course, and I was going to ask you to give advice to Kanye, but I doubt he'll hear this podcast. So I'm going to ask you to give advice to the listeners, you know, most of whom are believers, obviously. That's why they would follow someone like me. How should people pray? What should they do? If they hear criticism, should they say something? If they hear something maybe that is disappointing to them, like, you know, Kanye's not perfect, and he's going to undoubtedly disappoint in some way, you know, maybe just as much as not being religious enough or something, you know. What would you say to people to encourage them, and maybe to other Christian leaders, even who may have an opportunity to minister to and mentor people like Kanye that are, you know, no matter how much on the underbelly, like you said, they are, people need Jesus, and people want Jesus and often don't even know it.
Okay, so I would say this, because your audience is probably mostly Christian leaders. I'm a pastor, and I was able to sit with Kanye for a little bit and talk to him, and I'm just telling you, I know when people have been born again, that guy's been born again. And there's his conversion to Christ and his belief in Christ is very authentic, very genuine. You know, I know that, man, if the enemy, because I believe we have an enemy, if the enemy could take out anybody, he starts targeting the loudest voices. And so I think just praying that whatever God's purposes are for him would come to pass, and that God would protect him, and that God surrounds him with great godly men who can mentor him, and where he can grow in his faith and be solid and continue to be a witness for God. You know, Christians pray for moves of God so much. We always are praying for revival, and we pray that people would get saved in Hollywood. We pray for political leaders to get saved. And here you have one of the loudest voices in the world, in the hip-hop world specifically, and he is screaming, Jesus is King. And so believers should be celebrating this so much and just being excited about it. And my advice is to act like we lived 2,000 years ago, and we were in the early church, and it's us against the world, and we're trying to get everybody to hear the name Jesus. And here's a guy who has taken that name and really sold his life out to it and is trying to go for it. Christians should be behind him, pray for him, definitely not be judgmental. And here's another piece of advice. Some people are critical, saying, hey, this guy should have sat for a couple years, been discipled, and I think there's a difference between holding an office in leadership in a church, being an elder, and actually leading the local church versus giving a testimony about what God has done. And we always have people, if we're doing a baptismal service or whatever, we have people say, this is my testimony, this is how I found Christ. And this is essentially that. Here you have a man that has a massive platform that's found Jesus. He's not taking an office in leadership in the local church or in the kingdom of God, but he is screaming loudly his testimony. And so I think there's totally a place for that in church leadership, and for church leadership to allow that. So I would just advise people to open up their hearts, celebrate what God is doing, pray for Kanye, pray that he would be solidified in his faith, and pray that the fullness of God's plan for him comes to pass. Because, you know, what I saw that night is people who would never come into my church ever, 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 or go into anybody else's churches for that matter. They came on this field. Some of them were smoking marijuana. We had people hanging from a tree. I had a guy hanging from a tree like Zacchaeus with marijuana in his hand, and he gave his heart to Christ. And so that's not going to happen in our churches. So Christians should be celebrating what the Lord is doing. That's my advice.
I hope you enjoyed that. I actually learned a lot. There was a lot I didn't know that wasn't really reported in the media. And because I knew Jonathan, I was comfortable to just kind of call him up and ad lib and, you know, find out all the stuff that we just heard. And I think it's very important that we hold Kanye up in prayer and thank God that there's all this attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So praise God for that. Thank you to Jonathan for taking time to be on my podcast. Share this with people. Put it on social media. There's a lot of interest in Kanye West. He's trending on Twitter all the time. And I think it'd be good for people to hear this. Just the purity of sharing the gospel and everything that happened, I think it would bless people. So thank you for listening. So tune in again for the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you. This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. It's trumpbooks.charismamag.com.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.